All right, so do you want to hear about my possessed houseplant or my possessed trash can?
So I find the trash can more plausible, so I want to hear about the houseplant.
Okay, so it's not like, I don't want to say possessed in a way that it like actually is possessed, but the thing is growing like a monster.
That's like, not possession. What? Okay.
I mean, but I didn't know what else to say. Like,
your
if
healthy
I just said,
plant? It's healthy. Well,
but it was already like starting to bud and when I got it out of a box. Like, what kind of plant is already blooming when it's in being shipped to me? That's the thing that
I was worried about. Is it a succulent? Like, is it a desert type of plant that doesn't need...
No. Oh. It's flowers.
Huh.
Like, so, like, my workplace sent me a plant, which, like, I don't understand how they think, like, we appreciate you is the equivalent of here is more responsibility for you to take care of. Like, whatever. But I got this plant in the mail, and I opened up the box, and, like, the plants are already starting to come out of the soil. Mm-hmm. Like, they had already started to, like, come out through the covering that was, like, the little, like, mossy covering that's supposed to protect the dirt.
Uh-huh.
So it was already, but, like, growing crazy. And, like, I've only had it a week, and it's already, like, blooming and... like just growing wildly. Like, I don't even know if it's going to fit in the pot for by the time it's finished growing. Like,
do you know what kind of plant it is?
No, I have no idea, because the descriptor was like, here are some buds from South Carolina or something. No, I think it was South Dakota.
Did they send you weed?
No. It's definitely not weed. Although that would have been pretty funny.
That's actually a really good prank. Just like give somebody, oh yeah, these are some flowers, man. Just let it grow. And then suddenly you're growing your new buds.
I mean, I guess that would have been a much more plausible thing to be like, hey, we appreciate you. Have some weed to mellow out while you're not working. But no. They're definitely actually flowers. Because like we've gotten a couple, there's like a pink... like group of pink blooms that are one of them, and then another one's like a long yellow flower bud, and I don't know. Anyway, the point is growing way too fast. I have no idea what it is, and I didn't order it, so I feel like this thing is going to like take over my house when I'm not looking.
Did other people get plants too, or are you sure your work set this?
I mean, it had a note from my workplace in the box that it came in. I have not confirmed with other people that they also got plants. So, I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, this is like an orphan plant showed up at your door and you're just going to raise it. I mean, fair enough. But now I wonder, did other people get plants or not? Because that would be like... like, why not? Just send somebody plants and say, yeah, it's from work. And then suddenly they're growing their little plant. And it's a nice little way of like, hey, you're inside. So here's something that's outside to remind you that you can't go outside and you're still inside.
That's, yeah, you know, when you put it like that, I guess it makes sense.
Does it? Okay. I lost myself even at one point of like the inside and the outside. It was just like, all right, this sentence will end somewhere.
It's a gamer. We're here. It's a gamer. This makes no fucking sense, but we're doing it anyway.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me a Gamer, the procedurally generated podcast that's a roguelike for your ears. I'm your host, Atma, and I'm here with
Harvey Z in the place to be.
And. Yeah, I don't have much else to add. How have you been playing any interesting games?
I have been mostly playing Hearthstone, actually, and otherwise, I mean, I think I mentioned it to you, like, I finally completed my quest of, like, what I've been doing this entire, like, quarantine period, since it's been about a year since we've done the quarantine. I started binging Criminal Minds. And I finally got to the end of it on Netflix like last week, which is to say 12 seasons, which it took me a year to binge 12 seasons of Criminal Minds, 20 something episodes. I don't know if that's impressive or probably not. People probably binge much quicker than that.
Right. Like, sorry, I zoned out for a second. How long did it take you to do it entirely?
So since quarantine began, which was 12 months ago, I have, from March to March, watched 12 seasons of a show.
Okay.
So about a season a month.
Okay, that's not too bad. But you haven't finished the series yet, right? Because there's more than 12 seasons.
As I've apparently discovered, yes, there's more than 12 seasons. So now I've switched to Hulu, and I'm on season 13. Apparently Hulu will go to season 15 total. Then I think there's even more seasons, but I don't know where I'm going to find those.
No, I thought it ended after season. I thought it
no spoilers, please. I don't know, actually. Okay. I don't know if the show is still running, even. It's on CBS.
I don't think it's still running. I thought there was a series finale. I mean, I could be wrong.
I don't even want to look it up because I'm 12 seasons deep. I'm super invested. And I will say, the season finale of season 12 was amazing. It was like the best of, like, I've seen now 12 finales or what, not finales, but like season endings of this show. It was so, so good. Like, mm-hmm. I want to explain it to you, but you're not even a Criminal Minds fan and you don't even care. So it's like, but for the people out there who watch this show, you know exactly what season 12 was all about. And like, oh, like, the episode just oozed such good sex. It was so good.
So are you sure quarantine isn't affecting you in other ways?
Like, I mean, so like Matthew Gray Gubler's character is like the nerdy character on the show. I understand now like why women are like, or people, I should say, just people in general find him like attractive and stuff. Season one, I'm like, why is this guy like, have like Tumblr and all this stuff dedicated to him, and now like season 12, that finale, I'm like, I get it, I understand. Spencey, oh, so good. Like, it was okay. Just like, for those in the know, you know what's up. Like, like, I would say to watch 12 seasons of this show just so you can enjoy that one like finale, but that seems a bit excessive.
I mean, I've watched plenty of Criminal Minds. I don't know when I stopped watching it, but I watched it originally when it first aired. So I was with it for the first couple seasons at least.
Like,
I think the last seasons I watched were the ones with the Reaper, I think.
Whoa, that's like season two or three. The Reaper
Not have been the Reaper.
That's like the first big serial killer that they face that's over multiple episodes. Mandy Patinkin
in there? Was there a replicator, maybe?
Replicator is the name, I think, of one episode, but do you mean like a copycat? Like,
yeah, it was like there was like a guy who was recreating previous serial killers that they had hunted.
So that's season 10, or it's around season 10, I think, maybe season 11. Yeah, because what ends up...
No, are you sure? Because I don't think I got that far.
So that's when it's been like the biggest arcs have been in the last few seasons. Otherwise, it's been like a Monster of the Week show, and it hasn't really had continuity other than the characters have shown like growth and like, oh, they remember their trauma and stuff. But there's not been like a villain that's been thwarting them, except in the last, like, season 10 had a villain that followed up and showed up in season 11, and then in season 12 also showed up. That would be the guy, what's his name? He's just Peter somebody. Like, did you see the Mark Hamill episode?
I don't remember that episode.
That might have been the end of season 9 or the end of season 10. He was the serial killer was Mark Hamill, of all things. And he played it so well. It was almost like a Joker-esque performance. But, like, I think season 10 is when they had it. Season 11 is the jailbreak season, I think. Or was that season 12? Where there's a jailbreak in all the previous serial killers that they've, like, hunted. Like, four or five of them exited and they had to go find them again. So that's one. There's a copycat, like, episode where there's just, like, a guy who's, like, copying like Jack the Ripper and famous serial killers, but the ones that they battled, that I think was season 10 or 11. It was a recent, like, because that was the arc of like all of season 11 and into 12 was them trying to catch this one like serial killer that's taunting them with like previous kills and stuff is one of the ways he does it. But like, yeah, that's much later. So I assume then you've been on the show when Joe Mantegna is there, the Italian guy.
Yeah.
As opposed to the Mandy Patinkin, which was the first three seasons. And then Mandy Patinkin leaves. And then Joe Mantegna replaces him. And then over that time, like, characters come and go and stuff. But my favorite serial killer, again, was the Aubrey Plaza episode that happens, like, somewhere in season 10 or 11. Aubrey Plaza plays, like, a hit woman. And it's a it's like a bottle episode. In the sense, like, I think that's what it's called, right? The bottleneck or bottle episode, where it's literally she's going to meet Spencer, and that actually is how the episode starts. Is they've been tracking the hit, like this team of hit people, and she's the like one they're going to catch, and Spencer meets her for dinner, and like he knows it's a trap and she knows it's a trap, and so like the FBI have the whole place surrounded and everything, and then she like pulls out a phone and they play a game where Spencer has to guess something, and like no, she has to, like, they go back and it's just this two of them sitting at a dining table and, like, just talking in this bar. And, like, the tension is there through the whole episode. And there's no, like, other, because this is, like, a culmination of everything. And that's where the sexual tension comes from, just Aubrey Plaza and Spencer, Matthew Gray Gubler's character, just talking. And these two, like, basically super level geniuses, like, doing chess moves with each other of, like, oh, well, I have a gun under the table. Please take away like the security guards that are by the door. And then he'll call
those
up.
So this is a video game podcast.
Yeah, not a TV show podcast or a movie.
If you would like to start a Criminal Minds podcast, I would be all for listening to it.
Oh, I'd have to go back and watch more episodes. Like, I don't like repeating TV shows.
See, that's like where the fun of like the TV podcasts, like in review sort of things where they like go through seasons of stuff and like watch episodes and talk about them like as they go through the season.
I don't know if that, like, would be even entertaining. Like, who would want to listen to that?
Well, I mean, if you have different opinions about stuff, like, I know there's a lot of podcasts that do really well where it's like, you know, it'll be like a book club podcast or a video game club podcast where, you know, you all playing through the same game and like you all get to a certain point and then come onto the podcast and talk about like what happened in the game or like what these episodes of TV or the what happened in the book. And like there's obviously lots of stuff to talk about just like anywhere else where you're talking about shit. Like, come on, you just literally spent 8 minutes telling me about the sexual tension between Matthew Gray Gubler and Aubrey Plaza, and that was a single episode. You really don't think you could make a podcast out of like rewatching TV shows?
I feel like if I was to do that, it would be like the SNL Chris Farley sketch where it's just basically, remember when that happened? That was awesome. And then it's just like me recounting it, and then that was awesome. And that's all I have to contribute, really.
So then why did you spend 8 minutes talking to me about it?
Because it was awesome, and I wanted you to know that was awesome. You're my friend, goddammit.
That's what you should title the podcast, and then just call it be That Was Awesome. And you go through and you just say, hey, remember this episode? Oh, yeah, that was awesome. Hey, remember this game? Oh, yeah, that was awesome. Remember when he did this?
And then I just end it with, why? You just end every episode with that. Like, why are you telling me this? And you're my friend, goddammit.
You need to know. Okay. So we talk about video games on this podcast sometimes. This started with me asking if you'd actually played anything, and you quickly pivoted to no. But
I did say yes. TV the record shows I played some Hearthstone, but then okay. I pivoted.
But we did play before we recorded. I told Harvey to have his Switch ready, and he's like, I gotta go charge it. Like, the monster doesn't even have his Switch like ready to go at a moment's notice. It's sitting with its battery poor battery torn out or whatever.
It's
torn out. I don't even know what I was trying to say there.
Yeah, I mean, I did have to find where I put the charger. I had to find my charger and then like plug it in and everything because I have my Switch in my Switch case. But yeah.
Yeah.
I don't play it that frequently. I usually, again, play it when I'm not at home. Like if I actually go somewhere, but because I've been home, I never go anywhere. I just don't play the Switch.
Gotcha. Well, so I told him to get the Switch ready, and we played a level of Scott Pilgrim versus the World on the Switch, because I've been meaning to play that with him, and he won't ever actually play it with me.
You make it sound personal. I haven't played that with anybody. I don't play things with a lot of people, not just you.
Come on, it's make me a gamer. Like you've got to share gaming experiences with me. I got Scott Pilgrim versus the World on the Switch because you had it on the Switch, and I thought we were going to play it together.
Okay, fine. That's a better guilting strategy. I mean, what can I say other than like we played it? That was awesome. Like, it was fun to play. It's a good, like, co-op game. I enjoyed it.
So, it's a very interesting game to me because, like, honestly, in terms of controls and how it plays, it feels clunky to me, especially in the early stages.
I agree.
Because there's, like, a leveling up system and you lose, like... You don't have combos and abilities and stuff when you start. And movement and everything just doesn't feel good. And it's very weird because, like, you don't normally feel like movement is a problem in beat-em-up games.
Mm-hmm. Like, I've found once I get to, like, level 4 or level 5 with a character, and even if I'm replaying a level, it's much, much easier and... Like, it just makes more sense and it's more fun. The level 1 and level 2 characters, it sucks a lot. Like, it is... And it's a mechanic that I haven't seen in other... I played Streets of Rage and those types of games. But, like, I haven't seen that mechanic before. And so, at first, it was novel and interesting just because it was like, oh, I gotta level up my character. It gives me replayability. And it changes that the second time I play the game, it's a lot easier. So it doesn't constantly feel like a struggle because my characters are always like, if I play through it, I'll level up at least like 1 in the early game kind of things. But like the very first time I played the game, I was like, I just suck at this and this sucks. And I don't understand if it's going to get better.
Yeah, and like I like the concept of a beat 'em up having like more depth to it and its abilities than just walking around and beating stuff up. You know, I like that idea of having that sort of leveling up and customizing your character in a way and adding that aspect because I like customization and RPG mechanics. Add them to whatever you want and I'll be cool with it. But this way, like, it feels like you're limiting the characters and making it less fun at like the base level. Like, you should start, if you're adding things to a game, you should always start it at a level where you're having fun at the beginning with the mechanics, and it just gets more fun as you unlock things.
But I think, is this trying to be like a Nintendo hard type of game where it's like the reward is in getting better at the game or something in some way? Like in the beginning, it also feels like every fucking guy blocks you until you figure out like moves that will break through blocks.
But like you don't have moves that'll break through blocks at the beginning. That's the other thing.
Yeah. So it's just like, maybe that's like, see, that's where I was like, maybe other types of gamers would enjoy this sort of thing. And I'm just not that right gamer for it. Like, I'm a casual gamer. And so that's what I viewed as like, this game has a reputation of being a hard game or a hard beat 'em up. Maybe this is a thing that like others would find appealing and it's just not for me.
I see, like, I don't know. Like, no other games really have done this sort of like beat 'em up leveling up system that I can think of off the top of my head, and I don't think they're intentionally making it hard. I just think it's slightly bad design. Like, I like the idea overall. I remember when I first played this, I had the same thought, because like I originally played it on the PS3, and while I went through and I beat the game, and it felt better once you got further in and were leveling up and everything, it definitely like felt off at the beginning. And it sucks because you have to level up every character.
That's
another thing that makes it a little bit worse, because like the characters level up and they have different abilities and like ways that they play, and so you could start with a character and realize you don't really like how they play, but then you've got to go to another character and start from the beginning with the sluggish movement and controls and everything, and not have the combos. And I don't know.
Because I wanted to play as like, if I get a fighting game, I usually tend to play with the female character. So Ramona, who I like in the storyline and everything, I was like, I want to play as Ramona. And I did not enjoy playing as Ramona because she's, as I found out once I played other characters, she's slower and a little bit harder to wield, especially in the early game. And then I played Knives, and Knives was super fast but not very strong. And it also just felt a little weird. And then actually I played as Scott Pilgrim, who's like the title character. That's when I was like, oh, this game is fun. And so my game has like Ramona is level 4, Knives is level 3, everybody else is level 1, and then Scott Pilgrim is level 8, because I actually played with him because it was a good balanced character. Like Scott feels like he's middle of the road on everything, which is nice. And I was like, maybe I should have played the game the way this game wants me to play it, which is the main character, but that also isn't as fun to me, like to follow a linear path.
Right, yeah, I get that. Like, I really like Scott Pilgrim versus the World in all senses. Like, I really like the movie and the comic, graphic novel, and I do like the game and especially the music. The music is fantastic. But, like, it doesn't feel like a beat-em-up. Like, it doesn't feel good to me.
Is it a bad game in your mind?
I don't consider it bad enough that I don't think it's bad.
Like, I enjoyed playing the game, and I would play it one player. The thing that I liked about it, actually, is there's a steep learning curve. But again, like, as I leveled Scott up, I got better at the game, or either that or the game got easier. So for me, as a casual gamer, I enjoyed that the game didn't get harder, but it got easier in a way. I've only played like the first two levels, but it didn't feel too easy. But it definitely felt like, oh, the second time I play level 1 again, I do a lot better. Sort of just like in the movie, like the second run, I know what's happening and I can do things a lot quicker and easier and stuff because my character, yes, is a higher level. Like, I suppose if my character was maxed out, then maybe the game might peak at some point and it wouldn't be as enjoyable. But for me, at least, I like that feeling of, I don't know if I mastered it or if I just simply unlocked enough of the game to where it suddenly became a lot like easier for me to play. But I enjoyed that feeling of, oh, maybe I got good at this.
Yeah, I guess for me, part of it is like just from a game design perspective, like I feel like a game should be fun from the outset and like that sort of hard up front and gets easier the more you unlock things. It's a negative aspect, not enough to like take away from the game itself, but just in my thoughts, like I don't want to have to learn basic combos through playing and having that experience be not fun. Mm-hmm. But then there's also sort of the general gist of beat 'em ups, which for me, like, it harkens back to like local co-op days or like playing them in the arcade, because those were the games I played when I was at like Chuck E. Cheese or like waiting for the movies at the movie theater or went to an arcade. You know, I played the old Simpsons game, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and X-Men, all those sort of beat 'em up style arcade games. And a lot of the fun I had with those was like playing with other people, like, because it was like a 4 or 6 player or whatever arcade machine. And I think a lot of What I find Scott Pilgrim's like biggest flaw is that it is definitely a game or system that wants you to like replay through everything multiple times to like max out levels and characters mm-hmm. and like get everything, but also like it's not fun for me personally doing that as a single solo player multiple times. Like, hell yeah, I will replay Scott Pilgrim and, like, if I'm laughing with my friends and, like, doing, like, a co-op style beat-em-up. But I'm not, I don't want to, like, beat-em-ups for me don't have enough of a draw in their base just mechanics, like the game style or whatever. Like, I don't really prefer to play beat-em-up solo, which is why I've always been like, hey, if you get Streets of Rage, I will play it with you. But I'm not buying Streets of yeah. Rage until you confirm that you will play it with me. And considering how long it's taken you to even play Scott Pilgrim with me, I'll wait and see before I actually get it, because I'm not going to play Streets of Rage by myself, because that's not just not how I participate or like feel about beat 'em ups. Like it's not my personal, and the game by itself is not the draw.
And I would say like, that's the same feeling I had. Like, even when I owned my Sega, I loved Streets of Rage and those games, but I never bought them. I would always rent them from, like, Blockbuster. And, like, when I had friends over or we knew, like, family was coming for the weekend or something, we would go to Blockbuster, and then we would play it. And then it also put the sense of urgency where it was, like, you had 2 days to beat the game or something like that. And so that's when those games became fun, but I would never own that sort of game, because for that exact same reason, if my friends or family weren't there, there was no reason I would ever play this type of game solo.
And like, it kind of goes like, I'm really excited for that new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle games, because which I think mm-hmm. we talked about last week.
Yep.
But I also want to play that with people. Like, I like the Turtles beat 'em ups were my favorite of the genre. And so I'm looking forward to it, but I also definitely want to play those with other people and not just by myself, because that won't be the best experience for me or what I would consider how to play it for optimally. It's like Valorant, a completely like random shift in genre and what we're talking about. But like, I played Valorant this past weekend with a full stack of five, and playing with a group of five people was so much more fun than when I solo play it, because like, we're all playing together, we're working as a team, we're laughing, we're having fun, and it's less like I'm just playing with these randos who, you know, like, it's the mechanics in the game of itself are still fun as I'm learning everything, but like, the best experience playing Valorant is with a five-person stack. Just like Overwatch's best experience is probably if you get a full six-person team and you're all playing with each other and having a good time versus playing with randoms who don't listen or don't.
See, you know, that's where I got the sense, though, from the last time you talked about Valorant, the difference was, so like, Overwatch can be really not fun if you don't have like a headset and you don't, like, if you're playing with randos, basically, if you don't have a cohesive team, the game just doesn't work. Valorant, you seem to imply, was like Counter-Strike, where I exclusively played Counter-Strike like as a rando by myself, just multiplayer, same with Tribes, but I never played with friends that game, and it was still enjoyable. But is Valorant necessary to have the group?
No. Like, it's still fun for me to play it solo. Like, I've been playing it solo a lot. In fact, like, all my, like, when I've done, like, ranked mode, I've only played it solo because nobody else plays ranked with me yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't deny that, like, I had a lot more fun because it's a multiplayer game and just has a social aspect, that if you play it with a team, with you and four other people, it's the optimal way to play the game. Like, it just, like, I would have fun playing Scott Pilgrim versus the World by myself, mm-hmm. probably, because I like the music and I like the universe and like the art style and all that stuff, and I don't hate beat 'em ups. But playing it with four of us, each of us being a Scott Pilgrim character, and the chaos that comes from like throwing each other at enemies or getting hit by, you know, random shit or whatever, like that would be the optimal experience of how I play the beat 'em up, even if it still plays fine solo.
I fully agree with that, because I have been playing Scott Pilgrim solo in the past, and the thing that has to draw me in, exactly what you're saying, it's clunky in the beginning, but I enjoyed the music, and I want to know what happens in this. I know the story of Scott Pilgrim, but I haven't seen it in the video game. So for me, it was unlocking that one, because most beat 'em ups don't have a great story other than you need to save the princess, you need to rescue the president, you need to save the building from something. Like, there's an objective that you must accomplish, but there's no like drama to it. The Scott Pilgrim one had little cutscenes and stuff that hooked me, at least as a solo player. But I agree with you, like multiplayer would be an optimal way to play this type of a game. Especially if I've seen the story and I know what happens, then yeah, I would never probably play this game again unless friends wanted to play it.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you actually though, because you mentioned, but I think I know your answer now. Like, what's your favorite or like you consider the best beat 'em up?
I would say Turtles in Time is probably my favorite.
Okay.
I think that one was the one I enjoyed the most in the genre. I played a lot. That one I think I played the most too.
Mm-hmm.
I played a lot of the Turtles games. I played some Final Fight. I never had a Sega, so I only played Streets of Rage a couple times, and it was when I was like visiting a friend's house.
Mm-hmm.
And
then there's like Gauntlet Legends and all of those series and stuff. Heroes, not Heroes of Might and Magic. There's another beat 'em up that's like you're a dwarf and a barbarian and stuff on the Sega as well. Like, I just can't think of it right now. But like,
is that Golden Axe?
Golden Axe, that's right. My uncles loved Golden Axe, and we would always play like 1, 2, and 3 of Golden Axe. I don't know. Does Altered Beast count as a
I don't think so. Beat 'em up? No, that's not.
Or
that's
is it
not
like a side scroller more so?
Yeah, that's more of a side scroller.
Because I was gonna say that game was, as a kid, I was like, this was the first game where, as an adult or as an adult, I'd be like, the game was dumb, but so dumb it was awesome. As a kid, I was just like, this game is weird, but I enjoy it because I turn into monsters and stuff. But I kind of want to make fun of this, but it's so cool. But it seems kind of weird. Rise from your graves. Yeah. My suggestion for a beat 'em up that I wasn't then, now maybe I might have to take back my answer. A game that surprised me that had the multiplayer aspect that I really enjoyed of the beat 'em up, the Smash Brothers storyline. I can't remember if it was on the Wii, maybe the Smash that was on the Wii. They had
the Brawl. Yeah.
It had like this expansive solo type of game, but you could play it multiplayer. And so that one I played with like my uncle who plays beat 'em ups with me, and it was like hours and hours and hours of a long epic story that was actually a ton of fun. And I liked how they basically incorporated, maybe it's more of a side scroller, but Smash type of boss fights and stuff, plus though like walking through levels and just beating up like guys as well. Like, I was impressed and that was something that changed the genre a little, if you will, for me. But I don't know. Gotcha. Maybe that's more of a platformer than it is, or like more.
Yeah,
like
I wouldn't really consider that a beat 'em up. Like, there's a very specific sort of style and the way the game progresses, like Double Dragon, Final Fight, those arcades that I said earlier. There's a more recent game called, I think, Dragon's Crown. Hold on, I'm looking it up. That I think was a beat 'em up style game. That one got a lot of flack because of the character designs. They were very booby.
Did you ever play in the arcade the Die Hard beat 'em up?
No.
Like, that one was a game that I don't think it might have been multiplayer, but that was a beat 'em up that always caught my attention at, like, it would be in laser arcades or like a laser range or whatever they're called. But like, I liked it because the beat 'em up is usually like not a platformer, but you know, it's like 2D, but you can go up and down and left and right and like walk around. It's not just left and right kind of platforming. Like even Double Dragon had that. You can move your guy around. But Die Hard was the first where I was watching it, and it might have been like the graphics might have been like PlayStation or N64 era, but it was like not 3D, but it was the first modern beat 'em up in my mind as a kid, like looking at it and going like, whoa, like this guy's moving around a room and stuff, and like the camera is actually still fixed and everything. So it's still like, it's basically it's 3D Streets of Rage, if that makes sense, but it's not like the camera will ever spin or anything. It's a fixed camera as you go from room to room, but it feels like, oh, he's watching him go through like rooms and buildings and stuff and like pulling fire extinguishers or mops off the wall. And that always was my favorite part of a beat 'em up, where if you could get weapons from the environment and like find stuff and then hit people with those sorts of things, that just was like a beat 'em up. It's realistic in that way. And that always like blew my mind as like a kid of like, oh, I don't start off at like the Turtles in Time, you have weapons. Like each of the Turtles has weapons. But the fun part of Turtles is like, oh, a bad guy had a bomb and I pick up the bomb and I throw the bomb. Or the bad guy, I break like a pipe or a fire hydrant and I cause environmental damage. That was always my favorite part of a beat 'em up. As weird as it was, like back then, something that would be like commonplace now, I suppose. But then I would just be like, this is, the technology is amazing. I hit the fire hydrant and it sprayed water and it got the guy.
Yeah, like I did enjoy that. Like the turtle stuff where you would like fall into the manholes.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they would jump out from behind the background or whatever.
I'm looking at, I take it you sent me pictures of the game.
Yeah, that's the Dragon's Crown artwork, and like, all right, they were very exaggerated. Like even the guys were like super, but like I think it was the sorceress character that got the most flack.
I was about to say, there's one character that's just ridiculously booby. I can see that.
Yeah.
And then there's two characters. I would say, I don't even know if that's pants or if she's just wearing tattoos.
The barbarian is like wearing a bikini. That one makes no sense either.
It's also very weird muscular booby, but like from a distance I was like, that's just really booby. And then I'm like, wait, maybe those are pecs actually, and maybe that makes it somehow better.
I don't know. But it got a lot of like, I don't know how good it is as a game itself, because all the conversation around that game was, why the fuck is this art style the way it is?
It's just excessive. Like the archer is perfectly fine.
Archer is fine.
Like,
and like the male roles are super exaggerated too.
But we complain about that. I was about to say, like, yeah, like the dude is super muscular and stuff, but that's not like a problem or like a negative. It's just, oh, and this knight has like his chest and shoulders are like five times his waist size, basically, but.
Like, like everything is exaggerated. Like I feel like the archer and like whatever Sephiroth is supposed to be, you know, like those two seem the most normal, and then the other four are just like, I think what comes into play is that like the muscular dude, like I guess maybe he's supposed to be like a paladin maybe, or a warrior. Like, because, like, there's, like, the barbarian and the sorceress and, like, the archer and then, like, I guess a wizard and then the knight. But then I don't know what, like, archetype this last muscular bearded dude is. Like, he's got a hammer, it looks like.
A cleric?
Maybe he's, like, a dwarf? I don't even know.
He's definitely pretty tall. I was going to say cleric if he has, like, the hammer and the wings and stuff. Like, he seems like a storm god type.
Yeah, like kind of almost like a really exaggerated Thor. But like even he, like he has the least clothes of all the males, but he still has more clothes than the female barbarian does.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really weird.
Like design. That bothers me. The female. Yeah, it's so, I mean, I get it. Barbarians are wilderness and stuff, but it's just, there's impractical and then there's really impractical. She's just wearing a thong and like a sort of a bikini thing. and then really high boots and gloves, and that's it. And it's really distracting, actually. Like, excessive. Now, I'm normally like a pretty pervy guy, and I'm like into this stuff. I'm not into this. This just seems impractical to me, as like my brain is just like, no, this is not combat worthy at all.
Yeah, like it's not. It doesn't feel like it's, even if they're going for like the barbarian type, what she's wearing does not seem like it would help keep her boobs from flopping around, like, and getting in the way of fighting.
Like, I mean, even the sorceress, I'm like, I get it. The sorceress, I'm cool with it, other than the fact that she has really big boobs. I'm not into big boobs. But it's also interesting because in this pose where you're just showing these characters, she has like a skeleton. I'm assuming maybe she's a necromancer now, and she's just pushing him into her boobs.
Yeah, like, it's not a, like, these key arts are not great. Like, I don't even understand how a woman poses like that in the first place, because she somehow has both her ass and her boobs out towards the like how you're looking. And, like, that's just twisting in a way that a body shouldn't twist.
This happens all the time, and like, in comic books and stuff. This weird, like, and, like, at first I'm, like, I've been conditioned to be, like, yeah, that's normal. And, like, this is how women are in comic books and stuff. But this is not how they are in real life at all. Like, I can't see someone's tits and ass forward at the same time.
It is definitely, like, and on top of it, like, It's weird because she's like, just to describe this picture, she's standing in a way that has her ass out. Her cane is sort of like
in between her
sorcerer's staff. Yeah, it's like going down in between her ass cheeks. And then she's got her boobs hanging all the way out, basically, with a skeleton sort of his in skull snuggled up in between her boobs. And like, it's bad. Like, it deserved all the attention it got when the game came out, because this key art and everything, like, it was bad design. Like, I got a PS5.
So that which you thought would happen did happen.
It did actually arrive. It came a lot faster than I thought it would, because, like, I bought it, I think. When did I get it? Like,
it was like a day or two after we talked.
Yeah, like, I received it on a Friday, and I think I put it in on Tuesday or Wednesday. Like, it might have been the day we recorded last week.
Oh, I thought, Like, I thought when we talked, it was like a day or less, because you were still, like, kind of surprised, is this going to happen or not?
Yeah, I definitely, so I ordered it on a Wednesday, and like, I was in the direct queue and ordered it on Wednesday, and it got to me by Friday. Like, I was surprised at how fast it showed up. I was not expecting it to get it that fast, or to even get it at all, really. I thought I had a bunch of queue problems or whatever, but yeah, I have a PS5 now.
Do you have any games for it? No, you said last time you didn't. You had to buy games.
Yeah, so I have not bought any games for the PS5 yet. It came with Astro's Playroom, which I've already platinumed, and I'll talk about that in a sec. And then I had a bunch of, like, free things. So, like, if you have PS Plus, there's a bunch of free things you can have already for the PS5. They're in addition to their, like, monthly offerings that are free, you can also, they also have what they call the PS Plus collection, which is a bunch of really good PS4 games that you can download and play on the PS5 if you have PS Plus. So you can play things, a lot of which I've already played, but things like Uncharted 4, Bloodborne, The Last of Us.
With the premise that, like, on the 5, it'll be faster or better graphics or something?
Right, yeah. Like, updated graphics, or even just, like, being able to replay it on the PS5 because it's backwards compatible. But God of War, I think, is one of them. And definitely some of them have PS5 upgrades. Not all of them do, but you just basically get them for free so you can enjoy all these PS4 classics, which I feel like is a big draw for you, because if you buy a PS5 and get like the PlayStation Plus, which allows you to play games online and whatever, you have access to all these PS4 games that you never played, and you can pick and choose whichever ones you want to play.
But the caveat is the PS Plus is like a monthly subscription.
Yeah, but like you can get it for a year, and it's not like Netflix where it's like monthly payment. It's like you can purchase a year subscription, and there's deals for it all the time.
I mean, I like, secretly you don't pay even for my Switch monthly thing. Like Professor Q has sponsored me on that one. Thank you, Professor Q.
Okay.
I'm on his family plan.
I guess he did offer me for that too, didn't he?
He might have. Like I'm going on like my second year of it though.
Yeah, but so I downloaded a free PS Plus game like Maneater, which is this shark RPG where you play as a shark. Like that was like a free PS5 game, and like even though I didn't own a PS5 because I had PS Plus, I could like mark it in my thing and be like, hey, I'll play this when I get a PS5. So I got that. I've re-downloaded Spider-Man Miles Morales because that has PS5. That was also designed as a PS5 game, so it has like a bunch of upgrades and stuff, so I can maybe replay that. And things like Control, which has a bunch of upgraded graphics and things for the PS5. And all of these are free. So like I haven't actually paid any money for a PS5 game yet. I mostly right now I played through Astro's Playroom, which was an absolute blast. It was probably the most fun, just like pure joy gaming experience I've ever had. Because it basically you play as this little Astrobot, which is a real cute little mascot character, and the game is just all about like going through and seeing all these little cute Astrobots doing stuff in world, and a lot of them are references to big franchises in the Sony games, and like each world is basically dedicated to one of the four previous systems. So there's like, and like even though each world is basically based on like a different aspect of the PS5, like so the game supposedly takes place inside the PS5.
Uh-huh.
I did air quotes around that, but like one of the worlds is SSD Speedway, and then there's like the cooling world, which was
the cooling fans of the PS5.
Yeah, and there's like the GPU world and the I can't remember what the last one was. So like each of those worlds is like a part of the system, but then in addition, each of those worlds has like artifacts that you pick up that are like the PS3 Slim or like the PSVR helmet or Move controllers or all the different like aspects of the old PlayStation. It was, as a person who has been a part of the Sony PlayStation ecosystem since the PlayStation 1, it was like really neat and fun to just go through and see all these different things and all the little Astrobots. Like there was like an Astrobot cosplaying as Kratos yelling at a little tinier Astrobot that was Atreus, his son. And there's, you know, there was a one that was Days Gone, where like there's an Astrobot with like a baseball cap driving around a motorcycle and a bunch of like zombie Astrobots chasing him around in a circle. You know, there's an Uncharted Astrobot hanging off of a cliff. Like it was really neat seeing all these different things in the background and all like the details and just going through like memories of PlayStation. And on top of that, like the Astro's Playroom is a real good sort of demo game of like what the DualSense controller is all about and how it's different from other PlayStation controllers and sort of like the upgrades to the technology.
Because there's a difference?
Yeah. So like the DualSense has this haptic feedback in addition to like the normal rumble stuff. And it was just, it's really hard to describe how good it feels, because like I was just handing it to my girlfriend and my roommate when I was playing it, like you just got to run around and see how this feels. And it's so, like, it feels different based on whether you're, like, running across dirt or, like, metal. And, like, the controller makes sounds based on what you're running on, or, like, you're, like, running through rain and you can, like, feel the wind on the controller, like, pushing against you. Like, it,
I'm just trying to, like, envision this now. Like, how do this even feel? Like, this is wind on the controller? Like,
yeah, like, it's really hard to tell someone how it feels, because when the PS5 originally came out, like, back in November, everyone was saying how good the DualSense felt and, like, how awesome it was to play this game and, like, what it could mean for, like, future games. And I was like, okay, it can't be that cool, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a controller. But it really does just feel so cool to have this sort of stuff. There's, like, the triggers sort of have feedback, and, like, you have to, like, pull a little bit harder. Like, there's resistance, and they use that when you're, like, they give the Astrobot a little bow, and, like, you can feel, like, the string resisting against you as you pull the trigger down. Like, it's all this stuff, like, I can talk about it until I'm blue with the face, but you really just have to experience it by holding it, and it like, honestly, it's just, it's really cool. I want you to be able to come over, and so I can just hand you the controller and be like, play this, see how it feels, because it's just really fun, and it's, like, really cool to feel it all.
Okay, because I'm thinking about, like, the last memory I could think of that's similar to this would probably be when the PlayStation 2 came out with the Rumble, like, controllers, I guess. And, like, I got a clear one, and I could see inside the little gears, and they just spun. That was basically it. They spun inside to make the controller vibrate. And even then, I was like, I can see what this is doing, but this is so cool, because nothing previously had done something like that. But it just spun. Like, after a while, like, by PlayStation 3 and so forth, I was taking it for granted almost, and I would actually didn't mind games that just turned it off, because otherwise it was just like, it's just vibrating.
Yeah, like, it definitely feels like that sort of step from, like, the controllers before Rumble to the controllers after Rumble. Mm-hmm. Like, once you, like, were playing with a Rumble pack and felt, like, that weight and sort of, like, the response, and then went back to a controller that didn't have that, it kind of felt lighter and just sort of, like, didn't feel right anymore. And it's sort of the same step here. Like, I can still, I've been switching back and forth between my PS4 and PS5 because I'm currently playing Persona 5 Strikers on the PS4, and I don't want to re-download the game and put everything on the PS5 because I'm, like, close to the end. Or not close to the end, but I'm far enough through that I'm just going to finish it on the PS4.
Yeah.
And, like, I like the DualSense a lot, and I can't wait to play other games that, like, really use it to its full capability. Like, I assume, like, Ratchet and Clank comes out in June, and it's, like, right around my birthday, so that is gonna be probably my birthday fun, and because I know Insomniac will use the DualSense controller, because they always do. Like, when the 6-axis came out for the PS3, the first Ratchet and Clank game used the 6-axis, even though that didn't really take off as, like, a main thing. But yeah, it's exciting. I'll be interested to see how many third-party developers really use the DualSense to its full capabilities, because I can probably see, like, it being harder to program all that stuff, or not feeling super necessary to do it when you're also releasing it on Xbox or whatever. Mm-hmm. And not having that same sort of feedback in those controllers. But I think that the Sony first party could make some really cool stuff using the DualSense. And yeah, I'm excited.
Do you have any idea yet of what your first PlayStation 5 game will be? Or nothing right this moment that you need to get?
So like, I definitely want to get Demon's Souls. Because, everyone has said, like, that remake is really good. And even though I've already played it, like, I played the original, I would definitely want to experience the remake, because the visuals and everything look really cool. But other than that, like, I can't think of anything super PS5-y only. Like, I might replay Miles Morales. I might get, like, one of the Ubisoft games, like the new Assassin's Creed or something. I've been eyeing Immortals because it's really cheap already, but I'm not sure yet if I'm going to pull the trigger on it. But, yeah, like, I would probably say Demon's Souls, like, if it goes on sale at some point, because they've raised all the prices for PS5 games to $70, and like $60 was like the sweet spot for me for like a game that I wanted to play right away. $70 is just a little too much to be like impulse buys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I will probably pay $70 for Ratchet and Clank, because Ratchet and Clank is like one of my favorite series, and I am willing to like put the extra money down to play that right away.
I mean, knowing but you, for you would games pay,
that
like,
I'm not like,
you'd buy like the Steelbook.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, I would get the Steelbook version of Ratchet and Clank if they had it. But for games where I'm just kind of like, I'm interested in it, but I like Demon's Souls. Like, I am interested and want to play Demon's Souls and will definitely get it at some point. But I have so many games already literally for free that I can play on the PS5 or on the PS4. And every game that I've bought, like, I have so much stuff to play right now that I don't need to go out and spend $70 on this game right now. And at some point it will be on sale, and I will buy it at a more, what I consider a more reasonable price. But like that $70, like that extra $10 is just enough to make me be like, I don't really need this right now. And you know, that's my personal, you know, line. Like, Miles Morales came out and was the PS4 game was only $50. And like, I was like, sure, I'll dip that right away, because 50 is a fine price point for a new game. And like Immortals, the Ubisoft game, it's currently on sale for $30, and like, I'll pay for a PS5 game for $30. Like, that's fine. But 70 is just, I can understand increasing the price, but the fact of the matter is, like, I have to be more conscious of how much money I spend on games, and more importantly, dropping money on a game right away when I know I won't get to, like, I have so much other stuff to play. Like, I'm still playing Persona 5 Strikers. I didn't even fucking expect to have a PS5 right now, you know? Like, this was a very much a sort of, oh shit, I can't believe I actually got through. Well, might as well take advantage of it.
Welcome to my podcast. Make me an adult.
Yeah, it sucks being an adult.
Agreed. Actually, I won't go off on a tangent. We are old people yelling at clouds way too often, but like, I feel old sometimes. More often now than I, like, it used to be I ironically would be like, man, I feel old. Now it's like, okay, I actually feel old, and I don't understand some of this stuff, like slang and like on dating sites, catching vibes. What the fuck is catching vibes? Everybody wants to fucking catch a vibe, and I don't know what the fuck they're talking about now, but man, I'm just old. Yeah.
I mean, it was like the thing I saw that made me realize, like, there were like these women on TikTok who are apparently like millennials, who were trying to rap because the generation below us was like trying to cancel Eminem or saying Eminem was bad or something. I don't even know.
Uh-huh.
But like, they're trying to like rap and be all cool and stuff. And like, they have to realize, like, the millennial generation is no longer the cool young generation. Like, we are middle of the road now. We're not quite like the elder generation yet. But the fact of the matter is, we're getting into like our late 20s and 30s, like the majority of millennials.
Millennials are like, I was about to say, we're like fully in the 30s, the millennials at this point.
Like,
there's millennials or whatever. There's like newer than new. There's at least two generations down, if not three, at this point.
No, I would consider there's one generation right now. There that like has like an official sort of like the Gen Z Zoomers, which is I guess Zoomers is what they're calling. It's like that's currently like the people who are of adult age, aka 18 to whatever. Like I feel like that generation currently exists, and then we're eventually going to like the people after them who aren't adults yet don't exist.
Because, I was gonna say, like, I thought, isn't Generation Y the one below the millennials, and then there's the Zoomers? Like the Zoomers are little kids.
There isn't a Generation Y. Like we millennials were considered Generation Y because there was Generation X, and then nobody knew what to call the next generation, so they called them Generation Y, and then we eventually were adapted into millennials. And then they called the next generation Generation Z because we're still very uncreative until Gen Z turned into Zoomers, which is just Z plus boomers. Because, again, we're really fucking uncreative as a species.
I was about to say, apparently, according to, like, so I went to Google, there are six generations currently around in total. There are other generations, but so the six generations, according to Google, baby boomers, then Generation Jones. Who the fuck is Generation Jones? They're the 50s to 60s, the Generation X, there's this weird fucking one again that's bullshit. Okay, here are the six. Baby boomers, Generation X, millennials, 81 to 1996, Generation Z is 97 and later. Then there's a Generation Alpha is 2010 and after, the 10-year-olds basically. Like,
see, here's the thing, and we got to end the podcast soon.
Yeah.
So whatever, but 10-year-olds and below don't get a generation because they don't get – they haven't made any decisions other than not pooping their pants.
But like, they're alive. That's
they're alive. But the thing is what is happening right now is not defining what their generation is. Like if 6-year-olds are not experiencing anything or doing anything that is going to define what their generation feels like millennials – are defined by the turn of the millennium and like what happened during this time period, like Y2K, September 11th, the crash of 2008, like that area of time when we were already in high school / college, like that general area of time is what defined our generation. The baby boomers were not defined by what happened when they were like 5 or 6 years old. The baby boomers were called baby boomers because they had a ton of fucking babies when they were in their 20s. Like, you don't get to define a generation.
Whoa. Correction there. The baby boomers were the babies born to the greatest generation. They were the 1946 to 1964. They didn't have the babies. The baby boomers were boomed. So for them, really? Their fact that, yes, baby boomers are known as just this generation that appeared because a ton of people had kids, and that's what the baby boomers are. It's just a fuck ton of kids that existed post the war. Then they became like hippies and 60s and all that shit happened to the baby boomers, but they themselves are the me generation, people born post-World War II.
Like I thought that. They were, I really thought they were called the baby boomers because like in the 50s and 60s was like the hippie stuff and... They were having kids and everything because, so like, traditional, like, 50s sort of households, that sort of thing.
The way it's happening, or, like, I'm looking at this. So, like, we are, it's, like, now I'm going to Wikipedia. We are Generation Y, but then we became defined by an event later on, and so we became millennials. Generation Z are, as you're right, Zoomers came afterwards. Generation Alpha doesn't have a thing yet. Because you're right, they're just like kids. But at some point, something will happen to them, but they're right now blocked already as a group, Generation Alpha. And when they come of age, they'll probably have some like hip slang term appealing to them as well. But like they're the Alpha, the Zetas were the Zoomers, Ys became Millennials, X was X, and they just stayed with Generation X. They were the cohort, the Baby Boomers, as you said, if the Baby Boomers had a bunch of kids, that's Generation X. The people born from 65 to 80 to the they are the children of the baby boomers. But yeah, that's I had to learn about the baby boomer stuff from like I took an America Since 1942 class in like history or something like way back in high school. But yeah, baby boomers was the baby boom for the greatest generation and the silent generation. Those two were all defined by the war shit. And then once the war ended, we had a boom of babies. And those, that generation is literally just named because they existed and there was a fuck ton of babies. And that's it. They didn't accomplish and anything.
Yeah, and of course they didn't accomplish anything because they're ruining the world for the rest of us.
Yes, they're still around now. Yes. Younger boomers are the Generation Jones that I had mentioned, apparently. They came of age in the 70s, as opposed to the older boomers were in the Vietnam and counterculture and hippie stuff.
Gotcha. All right, well, this podcast has already gone on for long enough between you talking about Criminal Minds and generations and everything. How did we even get on that subject?
We were old people. Yeah.
I don't think I even got to make my point.
Thought you made your point. Oh, well, I think you're just getting old, buddy. You forgot your point.
No, I definitely didn't get to make my point because I think you thought I had made my point, but I was going to say something else in addition to just like the millennials being on TikTok. But it's whatever. We're done now. Where can they find you, Harvey Z?
You can find me on Twitter at MakeMeAHarveyZ.
You can find me on Twitter at Atma_Phoenix. You can find our podcast at MakeMeAPodcast. You can always email us at MakeMeAGamerPodcast@gmail.com. And you can find my writings at Atmasweapon.com. There's our Discord you can join. And that's it, I guess. Yep. That's it. Harvey Z, take us out.
And thank you for listening to us and listening to our rants, our generation things, our Scott Pilgrim things, our awesome Criminal Mind talk, because you're our friends, goddammit. Did that work? I don't know. I thought that was. I wasn't forceful there. I tried to go soft. I should have gotten hard. I didn't want to yell at them at the end of this, because, you know, just right. A gentle goddammit. A soothing one.
A soothing goddammit? Okay.
Like, you try it. Like, soothe them with your goddammits. Goddammit. Oh, that was good.